Today we hear how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples with him were in the desert, and a multitude of people, thousands, perhaps 5,000 or more, gathered around to hear our Lord teaching and preaching. And at the end of the day, it became clear that the people were hungry. And the disciples came to the Savior and told him that you should tell the people to go away so they can get food and take care of themselves. And so it is, our Lord decided rather to ask them, what food do you have? And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And which is a very beautiful thing. He said, we have the 5 books of Moses, filled with the bread of life, as it were, not yet revealed in its fullness. And while God was active throughout the Old Testament, the true and full meaning was revealed through our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. But he embodies, as it were, the teachings of the books of Moses, the 5 books of Moses. And we see this from the 5 loaves. And the 2 fishes, and the Greek word for fish, which is my room to pronounce, only because of accuracy, the letters of the Greek for fish actually spell out the abbreviation, Jesus Christ, Son of God. And what's interesting about this, so here we have, in the symbolism, the 5 loaves, the books of Moses, and the 2 fish, because Christ is perfect God and perfect man, so it symbolizes the incarnation. And he blesses the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and they begin to distribute them and discover that they continuously multiply. And more than 5,000, not including men and women, are fed in the desert by this beautiful miracle. And we know absolutely that this miracle is a miracle that foreshadows, takes material things and foreshadows spiritual things. And clearly what it foreshadows is it foreshadows the life of the holy apostles in the holy church. And what's fascinating is after the 5,000 are fed and they're dismissed and so on, what do? They go and get in a boat and begin to cross the body of water. And the boat symbolizes the church. And here they are in the church. And why? Because in the context of the Holy Church, the power of the Holy Spirit is present. And the power of the Holy Gospels comes forth. And our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ continues to speak, not as many people think, new things, but he continues to reiterate the things that have been taught of old for each and every person that comes to him. And so it is, within the context of the church, the symbolism indicates that people can be a multitude. There's no limit to how many people can be fed by the power of the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of Holy Communion, where we receive the body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is, of course, a very beautiful teaching. And we also have reading from 1 Corinthians, in which our Savior is addressing the Corinthians. And there's division among them. Some say they were baptized by Paul, and some by Cephas, and so on. And there's division. And of course, St. Paul wants to dispel this division. And he dispels it by instructing them that we have to, we worship God. We don't worship Paul, we don't worship Cephas, we worship God. And it is God that unites us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are united in Christ. Later on, he talks about how each person that's called to God should remain in his own station. And he doesn't mean, I think, in terms of, but that if you're a soldier, you can be a soldier. And if you're a slave, you can be a slave. And if you're married, you should remain married. And you should be faithful to Christ in your own station. And of course, even then, you can tell there was sensitivity about the slave. And a slave, it's being a slave is a bondage, and you're bound in a way that free people are not bound. But he takes this as an opportunity, speaking about, and if you're a slave, remain a slave and be faithful to God. He takes this as an opportunity, and he asserts that we're all slaves to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. That we have died to the world, and we become servants of God. And servants, that is, we're bound to him. And it's an amazing teaching in Corinthians about how we because of our baptism and our chrismation and our participation in the life of the church, we have died to the world. We've died to our old man and been born again and renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that if that's true, then what is ours is not ours. It's the Lord's. And as he develops this, you just realize that whatever we do, we belong to Christ. And you know, it's fascinating because I think there's a little device here that St. Paul uses. He knows that, you know, we're very careless with ourselves in private and so. But, you know, we try to serve others with more exactitude. We try to, and what he's saying is that, no, this life is not yours. No longer. It belongs to Christ. And you are Christ, and Christ is in you. And we are in Christ, and we are the body of Christ, and we're all members of the body. And each has different roles and functions, but we belong to Christ. So that, if you think about that, that changes everything very, very dramatically. Because you say to yourself, you know, well, what am I going to do at this moment? I have these few minutes over here. What am I going to do with it? And, you know, you say, well, you know, I like to, you know, fritter away my time, you know, playing video games, or I like to fritter away my time, you know, just dreaming, or who knows what. But if you ask the question, wait a minute, who am I working for? Who do I belong to? In fact, didn't I die to myself? So what it does is it forces us to say, what would Christ have us do? That's the big question. What would Christ have us to do? Not with a little bit of our time, but all of our time. Which doesn't mean we change jobs. It means that we perform every responsibility that we have with a consciousness of serving our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that awareness, it changes the tenor of everything. It changes all our relationships. It changes the way we feel about people. Because we belong Christ. And we are, as it were, because what he says to the slave, he says, you know, yes, you're bound in your slavery, but you've died to the world, and you're a freed man in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And true, in the world, you remain a slave, but you are freed. You're freed from sin and death and corruption. You're given this new life. And so the thing is, of course, how can we claim this new life? How do we make it ours? And what we need to do is, if you think, well, gee, you know, I've been given this unbelievably special gift. I've been given sanctification. I have been given holiness. I have been given eternal life. Of course, presupposing that we maintain faithfulness throughout our lives. But I've been given all of this. And I think what it's supposed to do, what this awareness, is it's supposed to inspire us a sense of profound love. Don't we love those who are kind to us? And don't we love those who have cared for us and love those who have provided for us? This is a normal human state of mind, to love. And God has given us everything. And He's given us everything into eternity. So we must love God. And if we love God, we must love our neighbor, because everyone is God. Whether people believe or not, they're still God's children. They are God's children. They were created in His image and likeness, fallen away, but never had less as children. And even as we have, as He's been called, so we must, as it were, conduct ourselves in such a way that our presence and our very being calls others to faithfulness. That's what we're supposed to do. And so that all can participate in the great banquet of the body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and enter into this community, as it were, of sanctification and holiness, knowing that when we first begin, we're children. And St. Paul says it to you, he says, we give milk and soft food to children to nurture them and make them strong. And to get to the point where they can digest heavier food and heavier, but also more nourishing. So God gives us this incredible embrace of love and light illuminating our hearts and minds. We as children, but little by little, things come up. We have difficulties. And one can say, God loved me, why would I have difficulties? Maybe what we should say, because God loves us, we have difficulties. Actually. Because why? Because we have mind and free will. And we can choose. Are we going to choose to be faithful in the face of difficulty? That's the question. Or as soon as difficulty comes, are we going to be like the seed sown on the rock and the sun comes down and burns up? We just lose everything. Oh, God, if God loved me, I wouldn't have these little difficulties. Well, guess what? You have them to test your faith. And as you bear the responsibility of small things, you'll be given greater things. And you'll be given things where it really involves other people, helping them and guiding them and showing them the path of salvation. And so it is, brothers and sisters in Christ our God. We need to understand that we no longer belong to the world, but we belong to Christ, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And He calls us out of the world, still doing the same work. Perhaps we can find better work as we go along, but still working in the world. But in our hearts and our minds, in the depths of our very being, we belong to Christ. And in everything we do, we should reveal His love and His compassion, even as He has called us to faithfulness in love and compassion. Can you imagine? Seriously, you think about it. I'll speak for myself. But I look back at so many things from my youth, so many things that I did wrong, completely off the path, that didn't reflect anything but my own self-will and my pride and my carnality and all my passions. I looked at that. And this is fascinating. I see it in pretty much everyone. I would say everyone has a little bit of this in their past. And in spite of that, God came to us and called us. And it's sometimes the word being called by God is misused, but it's true. It really is true that you can see, someday you look back and say, how did I ever get from where I was to where I am now? How did that happen? There are so many obstacles in the way. You can do what I used to do and think you're so smart that you figured it all out yourself, And then all of a sudden you have this realization, no. All the figuring out something got rid of the baggage. It's like you're pushing it off the train. Just get rid of the baggage. We should even maybe get rid of the garbage. And just push it away. And just realize, no, God called. And no matter what you look at Mary of Egypt, like, who could be further away from, you know, from holiness than she was when she was 18 years old, and she was then called to faithfulness. And the way she got there is even almost astounding. The things that she did to get to the point where she could to really throw herself in the arms of our Lord and really begin anew. So we are all called. We couldn't have gotten here. The thing is, we need to understand that we belong to Christ. And He is our Lord and Master. And that each and every day, we need to turn our hearts and minds away from all the temptations of the world and turn them toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through prayer, through spiritual reading, through doing kind things for one another, through embodying the life of Christ in patience and in wisdom and in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.